ever wonder, like, why we even have designated places of worship?
It's one of those things you never really think about, right?
Yeah, it just seems so normal to us now.
Right.
But the history of it is super fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in ancient Israel.
Definitely.
It's way more complicated than you might think.
Absolutely.
So today we're doing a deep dive
into
this whole idea of centralized worship.
Sounds good.
In ancient Israel.
All right.
And we're going to be looking at some lecture notes by a scholar named Robert Vannoy.
All right. I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah. He's an expert on Deuteronomy.
Oh, interesting.
And he talks about this 19th century scholar named Julius Wellhausen.
Ah, Wellhausen. Yeah. His theories are still making waves today.
I know. It's kind of crazy how...
Huge impact.
Yeah. His ideas from way back then are still shaking things up in biblical studies.
Oh, absolutely. His work on the evolution of Israelite worship is, well, it's fundamental.
Okay, so let's get into it. What exactly was Wellhausen's big idea?
Well, he basically argued that the whole concept of worship in ancient Israel went through like three distinct phases.
Three phases.
Yeah,
so it wasn't always about going to a temple?
Nope, not at all.
Or synagogue or anything like that?
In the earliest phase, he suggested it was much more decentralized, like altars everywhere.
You know altars everywhere.
Wow. People could basically set up an altar anywhere they wanted.
Seriously?
Yeah, and he points to a passage in Exodus chapter 20, verses 24 through 26, where it talks about, you know, building altars out of just simple earth or unhewn stone.
Oh, interesting.
Wellhausen believed this reflected that early period of very localized worship.
So in the beginning, it was all about individual expression.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not so much about a structured system like we often see today.
Exactly.
Okay, so then how did things change?
Well, moving into what Wellhausen called phase two.
Okay.
Things start to shift. Jerusalem starts to become a much more important religious center.
Makes sense.
Especially after the Northern Kingdom falls.
Right.
And then you have King Josiah around 621 BC.
Okay.
Trying to make Jerusalem the place to worship.
So Josiah's trying to centralize everything.
Exactly.
Bring everyone together, religiously speaking.
Yeah, unify things a bit.
And this is all laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 12, right?
That's right.
Where it emphasizes centralizing worship in Jerusalem.
Yep.
So Josiah was undertaking a pretty major religious reform.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But did it actually work?
Well, according to Wellhausen, not really.
Right.
He argued that people were just so used to their local shrines and traditions.
I mean, yeah, change is hard.
It is.
Especially with something like religious practice.
Absolutely. It's deeply personal.
So what was the turning point?
Wellhausen thought it was the Babylonian exile.
That makes sense.
This massive upheaval really had a profound impact on their religious outlook.
Right. When they finally returned, there was this longing for unity.
Exactly.
A centralized place of worship.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Like after experiencing such a loss, they wanted to come together.
And where better than Jerusalem?
Right, with all its history and religious significance.
And it's a natural focal point.
Okay, so this is where Wellhausen sees this priestly source emerging.
Right, often called P for short.
Okay, the P source.
These are specific texts within the Pentateuch.
Right, the first five books of the Bible.
Exactly, and they really emphasize priestly rituals and a centralized sanctuary.
So Wellhausen believed this P source reflects the mindset after the exile.
Right, when a single sanctuary in Jerusalem became the norm.
Wow, so we've gone from altars everywhere.
I know, right?
To a designated place of worship.
Quite a journey.
That's a huge shift.
It is.
But this is where things get really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because Wellhausen didn't just see this three-phase development reflected in history. Right.
He argued that it was also embedded in how the Old Testament itself was written.
This is where things get a bit controversial.
Wait, are you saying that the Bible itself changed?
Well, that was his theory.
Wow.
He proposed that the Pentateuch, which is traditionally attributed to Moses, wasn't actually written by a single author, but was more of a compilation of different sources written at different times, reflecting these changing ideas about worship.
So the Bible's like a patchwork quilt.
In a way, yeah.
Not a single unified text.
That was his argument.
I can see why that was a pretty radical idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially back then.
Yeah, it really challenged traditional views.
So if Moses didn't write the entire Pentateuch, Then where did these ideas come from?
Wallhausen argued that we need to look back further.
Okay.
To early Semitic paganism.
Wow. So he's saying those are the foundation.
He saw the prophets as the real innovators.
Interesting.
Figures like Amos and Hosea.
Okay.
They pushed Israel towards monotheism.
Gotcha.
And a more centralized form of worship.
So he completely flipped the script.
He did.
Instead of Moses laying the groundwork.
Yeah.
It was the prophets who drove the change.
That's his take on it.
That's a pretty bold reinterpretation.
It is.
But doesn't that raise questions about the continuity of Israelite religion?
You're hitting on some key questions.
Okay.
That Wellhausen's work provoked.
Guts.
And those questions are still debated today.
It's fascinating how one scholar's ideas can have such a lasting impact.
Wellhausen really shook things up.
He did.
And those ripples are still being felt.
But before we get too deep into the implications.
Okay.
Let's zoom in on one specific element that Wellhausen found particularly intriguing.
Okay, I'm curious.
The tabernacle?
The tabernacle. Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. Yeah. You see, the tabernacle is a big deal in the traditional story of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness. It's like their portable sanctuary.
Exactly. It's where they carried the Ark of the Covenant.
Right, right.
Performed rituals, the whole nine yards.
Okay.
But Wellhausen, he had a different take on it.
Really? What do you mean?
He thought the tabernacle, as it's described in the Bible, might be a later invention.
Like a fictional thing?
Kind of like projected back into the past.
So he's saying it didn't actually exist during the Exodus.
Well, that's what he suggested.
That's a pretty bold claim.
It is, but he pointed to some inconsistencies in the text.
Okay.
And argued that the super detailed descriptions sounded more like the later temple in Jerusalem.
Oh, interesting.
And there's this passage in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7.
Okay.
Where it talks about Moses just taking a tent, pitching it outside the camp, calling it the tabernacle of the congregation.
Okay.
Well, Wellhausen thought this simple tent might have been the only tabernacle back then.
So basically, he's saying the grand tabernacle, the one with all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
That was made up later.
Maybe. Possibly modeled after the temple.
And then just like inserted into the story.
That's the gist of it.
Wow. That's definitely controversial.
Oh, absolutely. It challenged a lot of traditional belief.
Right. About the whole Exodus narrative.
And how Israelite worship developed.
So I'm guessing Wellhausen had some critics.
Oh, yeah. Plenty.
I mean, makes sense. Not everyone's going to agree with such a radical idea.
Definitely not. Lots of scholars push back.
Okay. Who were some of the big names?
Well, there was William Robertson Smith.
Okay, what did he say?
He thought Wellhausen's model was too simplistic.
Okay.
Didn't really capture the complexity of ancient Israelite religion.
So he thought Wellhausen was oversimplifying things.
Yeah, kind of forcing the evidence to fit his theory.
That's a good point. I mean,
Smith was all about looking at things in context.
Yeah.
Not imposing outside ideas.
Right, because you could miss some important detail.
Exactly.
If you're not careful.
And then there was S.R. Driver.
Okay, another critic.
Yeah, he specifically questioned Wellhausen's dating.
Oh, interesting.
Of the priestly source.
So the P source we talked about earlier.
Right. Remember, Wellhausen thought P was from the exile period.
Right, right.
But Driver argued that P showed signs of being much older.
So he's challenging the timeline.
Exactly, saying, hold on, this might not be as late as you think.
Huh. That would definitely shake things up.
It would, and Driver wasn't alone.
Okay.
Lots of scholars started pointing to archaeology.
Okay.
And studies of other ancient religions.
So they were finding things that contradicted Wellhausen's ideas.
Some of them, yeah.
So it sounds like the picture was becoming more complicated.
Definitely more nuanced than Wellhausen's original idea.
So it wasn't just a simple straight line.
Not at all. The debate was getting more complex.
With more evidence.
And more perspectives.
Well, it's amazing how Wellhausen's work.
It is.
Even if not all of his theories were right.
Right.
Really opened up a ton of questions.
He did. He sparked a whole wave of research.
Yeah.
That's still going on today.
I mean, it's incredible to think that a scholar from over a century ago is still influencing how we understand the Bible.
Well, Wellhausen's work really had a huge impact.
It did. He challenged so many traditional views.
And made people rethink things.
So even if not everything he said was spot on, he definitely left a legacy.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so how did his work specifically change things?
Well, he kind of paved the way for new approaches to studying the Bible.
Like where?
Approaches that really focused on context, both historical and literary.
So like the social and political stuff going on.
Exactly. All the circumstances surrounding the text.
That makes sense. We can't just read the Bible
right.
like it's some isolated thing.
You got to understand the world it came from.
So it's like we have to become time travelers.
Kind of. Yeah.
See the world through their eyes.
Exactly.
Wow. This is making me realize.
What's that?
That understanding the Bible. It's not just about finding one right answer.
No.
It's a journey.
It is.
With twists and turns along the way.
You got it.
And being open to new ideas.
Absolutely.
Even if they challenge what we thought we knew.
That's what makes it so interesting.
It does. This deep dive has been eye-opening for sure.
I'm glad to hear it.
But I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more to explore.
So where do we go from here?
Good question.
How have all these debates
right.
shaped our understanding today?
Yeah. It really is amazing to think about how these questions,
I know, right,
from a scholar over a century ago are still like influencing how we understand the Bible today.
Well, Housen's ideas really just kind of blew the doors wide open.
They did.
Forced scholars to rethink basically everything.
Yeah, about the origins of Israelite religion.
And how it all developed.
So even if not all of his theories were exactly right.
Sure.
He really left a mark on the field.
Oh, absolutely. His work is like
the foundation for so much of modern biblical scholarship.
So how did things change? Like, what new approaches came out of this?
Well, Housen really paved the way for new ways of looking at the Bible.
Okay.
Approaches that emphasize the importance of context.
Okay. So, like, understanding the historical setting.
Yeah. And the literary context, too.
Okay. So, looking at, like, the social and political stuff happening around the text.
Exactly. You got to look at all the circumstances to really grasp the meaning.
That makes total sense.
Ah.
I mean, we can't just read the Bible like it's some kind of isolated document.
It's got to be understood within its world.
So it's almost like we have to travel back in time.
Kind of, yeah.
To see things from their perspective.
You got it.
It's really fascinating stuff.
It is.
You know, this deep dive has really made me realize.
What's that?
That understanding the Bible, it's it's not about finding one right answer.
Nope.
It's more like an ongoing journey.
It is a journey.
With all these different twists and turns.
You got to be open to new discoveries.
And be willing to, like, question our assumptions.
Absolutely.
You know, even challenge what we thought we knew.
That's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, definitely keep things interesting.
And keeps us learning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of learning, what would you say are some key takeaways?
Oh, good question.
For our listeners, you know, as they continue their own exploration of the Bible.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to remember that the Bible is a complex text.
Good.
It's not just a simple rule book or a history textbook.
It's more than that.
It's a tapestry
of
stories, poetry, laws, prophecies.
Wow. Yeah. It's a whole mix of things.
It is. You've got all these layers of meaning.
So we got to approach it with an open mind.
You got it.
And be willing to dig deeper.
That's the key.
And not just take everything at face value.
Right. Ask questions.
Yeah.
Be open to new interpretations.
And also, context is super important.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. We have to understand the world the Bible was written in.
Learn about the ancient Near East.
Right.
The culture, the beliefs.
It's like we need to step back in time.
Kind of. Yeah.
To see the world through their eyes.
Exactly.
I love that. And finally, never be afraid to ask questions.
No, yeah.
Even challenge assumptions.
And talk to people who might have different views.
Right, because that can lead to a deeper understanding.
Exactly.
I think that's some really great advice.
I hope so.
This deep dive has been so insightful.
It has been fun.
Yeah, it really is a reminder that the journey of faith and understanding the Bible, it's all about learning and growing.
It is an ongoing process.
And being open to new discoveries.
Absolutely.
Well said. It's been a real pleasure.
Likewise.
Exploring this whole idea of, you know, where people worship from those ancient altars.
Right.
To the establishment of sacred spaces.
Fascinating journey.
It is. And for you listening.
Yes.
Keep exploring.
Keep asking questions.
And keep digging deeper into the Bible.
It's a treasure trove.
It is. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah.